Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today in College Park, Maryland, where Penn State will take on Maryland tonight. Really, what we're picking the game up at halftime this evening. Because we are contractually obligated to anything Kevin does.
Boy, that's the way life should be right there. I may be having
the Sunbury Motors.
Now, I was just going to say, I may be having a preview of the District 4 opening game between Shikellamy and Milton here tonight. Because right now, both of them are looking at a 4-5 seed in the District 4 tournament, which would mean they'd play each other if the season were to end today, but there's still a few more games to go.
Oh, the season doesn't end today. Okay. Just making sure.
Steve Jones, where I take and try and take any buildup Kevin does and shoot it right down.
Season doesn't end today, dog. It is National Letter of Intent Day, though. And we're going to have Greg Pickle on from Fight On State. We'll do that in the next half hour. And then at 4:06... the head football coach of the Nittany Lions, James Franklin, is going to join us on the show. And if you miss any of this, you can check out the podcast at stevejonesshow.com. I was asked today by someone whether we would talk more about signing day, high school basketball, or IndyCar today.
I'm just going to say signing day. That's just going to be my guess.
We could do this your way and drive the audience away, or we can try it a different way.
No, I think today would be probably an appropriate day to talk about college football.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, they've replenished it. There's no question. They've gone out. This is a very important class for them to get, because when you go into the Michigan State and Boston College games and you have 41 scholarship players available, that tells you right away that you need to replenish the ranks. Now, they have 25 guys they signed today. There is one more out there that has indicated that he will transfer. Jim would go to school until May. So now you're asking, how can they have 26? I'm sure that was wearing on you all day with that and everything else Vinny Clausi was talking about earlier. I know it's kind of hard to break your concentration from that. Stop laughing. You need to stop laughing, all right? So you're wondering, how could they have 26? Suddenly, have they become South Carolina, Tennessee, Auburn, oversigned? No. What has happened is this. The NCAA has gone out, and they did this last year to them. When they rolled back the scholarships a year ago, remember they could sign 20, and everyone asked, how can you sign 25? And that's because five players counted on the 2013 group. And they found that out late, and so they were able to get the 25 last year. 20 that last year counted one way, and 5 that counted against the 13 group. And those are the 5 early entries that counted against the 13 group, okay? Are you with me so far?
I think so, but keep going, and I'll see if you can lose me.
that happened in the open. The
no comment.
Gotta admit, that was a good line. that was a good line, though. You gotta like it.
You lost me at hello. So,
yes. So they signed 25 last year, but five of them were early entries. Like Terrell Barney was an early entry, and you know, and so forth. And those five counted against the 2013 class. Only 20 counted against 2014. Well, the same thing happened this year. They found out very late in the process, very late, that there were ways to that the three early entries, Stevens, Sterling Jenkins, Paris Palmer, would count against 2014. Thus, Penn State had signed 22. And that gave them three more openings in this class to sign. Well, they're going to get this. I can't talk about this player, but I think those who have followed it know that it's going to be that there's going to be a transfer. He hasn't signed yet. I can't talk about him yet. So that's how they were able to do it, because they were allowed, because the consent decree was wiped out. Because the consent decree was wiped out, Penn State should have been allowed last year to sign 25 guys that counted on 2014 instead of 20. And when the consent decree was invalidated, again, the key part was invalidated, that meant that there were still five openings on last year, thus the three early entries this year can count for last year as gray shirts, which meant they can sign 22. They're actually going to end up too short on this class because they actually could have signed 28. Instead, they'll end up with 26, the 25 they signed today, plus a transfer that I think almost anybody who follows Penn State football knows is going to happen. So that's how the numbers worked out. Are you okay there?
Too many numbers, my head's swimming.
Okay. In racing, if you go faster than anybody else and hit the line first, what happens? I was trying to ask you a question. It was in your wheelhouse. It's my way of getting you involved in the show. Did you quit? What'd you do?
No, I'm still trying to do the math. Math is not my strong suit. I mean, let's face it.
Okay.
Can you simplify this a little bit for me?
Yes. Penn State could bring in, under the consent decree, no more than 15 players in 2013. Well, they only brought in 11 in that class, because the other part was you had to be at 65. So there are multiple openings in 2013. When the scholarships were rolled back last year, Penn State was allowed to sign 20 in 14. And they found out late that the five early entries that they were able to get last year, the five that were involved in spring practice, like Michael O'Connor and Terrell Barney and guys like that, well, when the scholarship rollback happened, those five were allowed to count on 2013, which only had 11. So the 2013 class technically has 16. The 2014 class technically has 20 in it.
Okay, now it's starting to make sense. Now I'm following a little easier now.
All right. And when the consent decree was invalidated, well, that meant it, the whole thing was wiped out and doesn't exist.
That's the part that confused me. Now I got you.
Could have signed as many as 25 last year. So the three early entries this year, Tommy Stevens, the quarterback, Paris Palmer, the offensive tackle, and Sterling Jenkins, the offensive tackle, the three early entries are like gray shirts and can count against the 2014 class. Penn State then signed 22 others today that will enter in the summer. There's a transfer that will transfer in here in May that will count as the 23rd guy. They actually still had two remaining out of this. So it's and the end is it's nothing. I mean, they were going along with the numbers that they had, and each of the last 2 years they have found out late they had more openings. That's why you saw Penn State close with such a flourish this time. I mean, they closed big the last couple of days, big. So it's because of the sanctions, the rollbacks, the invalidation of the consent decree, which means it allegedly never existed. Well, that's the opening that allowed them to get more guys in. They're still going to have a 41 either freshman or redshirt freshman on the team in the upcoming year.
Steve, I hear a lot of talk, and a lot of talk from fans, too, about how recruits have switched. Some switched late to Penn State. You know, we've seen that a lot. How common is that? I mean, we've seen a lot this year. How common is that in general?
Well, it's more common than ever before, and I think the reason why you're seeing more guys switch than ever before is because they've made earlier commitments than ever before. I think in reality, that is the key, where suddenly, you know, you make a verbal commitment, and then time goes, and suddenly somebody else is in your ear, and you know, you start thinking and wondering, and you're 17. So I think you're seeing more switches than ever. And I think the reason you're seeing more switches than ever is because they've verbally committed earlier than ever. And I think rarely do you see a guy commit in December and suddenly on the first Wednesday of February they've changed their mind. That doesn't usually happen too much. Time frame is. But when suddenly you're verbally committing in June, July, sometimes May, sometimes April, there's a lot of people that get in your ear between that point and signing day. So I think that's a big reason why. Plus, you get new coaches in there. And there also is, there's one other element to this, that they used to be a rather informal, extremely informal, gentleman's agreement within a conference that if another conference team recruited a guy in the Big Ten, you backed off. And that changed when Rich Rodriguez was able to get Michael Shaw, a running back from Ohio, to change from Penn State to Michigan. And Roundtree, the wide receiver, to switch from Purdue to Michigan as well. Joe Tiller was infuriated by the Roundtree switch. Now, Penn State wasn't happy about Shaw. Shaw was a minimal contributor in his career at Michigan, but Roundtree was a major contributor at Michigan. That's what started all of, just within the conference, I don't care if you're verbal to them, we're still coming after you mentality. That's what started it. Greg Pickle, Fight On State, next half hour, 4:06, James Franklin joins us on the show to talk about the Penn State football recruiting class of 2015 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Very important football note before we move on and talk to Greg Pickle of Fight on State. I would be remiss in mentioning that Joe Susan has signed a three-year contract extension as the head football coach at Bucknell through the 2019 season. He has done simply an outstanding job with Bucknell. Took over in January of 2010. They were in contention for the Patriot League title this year. They won eight games. Finished alone in second place in the Patriot League for the first time since 1997. A well-deserved contract extension for Joe Susan. And I know that John Hart, the athletic director, said they liked the direction of the football program. Yeah, no kidding. He's done a tremendous job and gets the three-year contract extension that is very, very well-deserved.
I am ecstatic about that. I'm telling you, I am ecstatic about that.
And I think they got your best side in the picture on the release.
I was waiting for you to comment on that.
Also, one other note. There's a bit, and I've not addressed this, talked about this, so forth. But I'll address it quickly here. Dominic Bragalone, who had 4,700 yards rushing this year out of South Williamsport, is going to play his college football at Lehigh, which will be a great, a great opportunity for him. And there was so much talk about him and what Penn State was or wasn't doing, to the point where some people were, making fun, belittling. This is still a 17, 18-year-old young man. I don't quite get what the jokes are at somebody's expense that put together an awesome season. Is obviously a very talented young man. It turned out that early on in the process, Penn State identified a couple of running backs they really liked. And once they had that, they then moved on to other positions. Simple as that. Well, it turned out he has, I think, a great landing spot for him in Lehigh, and I hope he has a great, great career at Lehigh, except when they play Bucknell.
I was going to say, I do too, except for at least four times through the next 4 years.
No, but I just don't like the tone of some of this sometimes. Maybe there's somebody trying to promote him and so forth, but, it's...
Listen, he is a talented running back.
It's still has family members or whatever, and it's like, there are too many games played. Got to be a little more classy as to how you deal with people. And so I got uncomfortable when I was seeing some of that stuff out there, and I didn't like it. I thought that's beneath some people to do that. What did he ever do to them except gain 4,700 yards? So it's a good landing spot for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a very talented running back, and it's a program in Lehigh that has seen a lot of success in the Patriot League and will utilize him well in their offense.
Yeah, they'll be fine. Yeah, I think it's good for both. All right, let's get to Greg Pickle. At the top of the hour, just after the news at the top of the hour, James Franklin's going to join us to talk about the recruiting class they signed today at Penn State. But Greg Pickle, Fight on State. Greg, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. Hope you're doing well.
Doing very well. All right, Penn State finished, and they finished with a flourish. You want to get some guys down the stretch that you think can have an impact. Your thoughts on how the last week played out for Penn State?
I don't think it could have went any better for Penn State, Steve. You know, you look at what they did in the last couple of days here. They flipped two prospects, safety Johnny Patrician and tight end Nick Bowers, both from the Pittsburgh area. They flipped them from Pittsburgh to Penn State in the waning days of this class. And they also pick up a defensive tackle, Robert Windsor from Wisconsin, a couple weeks back after his unofficial visit. A big get there because defensive tackle was a need in this class. And they also get Kevin Givens. They flipped him from Pittsburgh to the Altoona, Pennsylvania linebacker defensive end who's going to end up playing rush end here at Penn State as soon as he gets ready for Big Ten football. And, I mean, if you look coming down the stretch here, you know, Penn State, there was this consensus that they were, you know, limping to the finish line. And all of a sudden, as you said, they sort of had a flurry to get to the end of this class. And they did well. I think this is a good class. It fits a lot of needs. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, that's a cliche saying that the class fills a lot of needs. But when you look at this job that James Franklin and his Penn State staff did, second season here and first full recruiting class, they certainly did more than a cliche because there's a lot of players coming in that can help this program down the road.
Now the next part of this, when you look at it, is the numbers. Penn State got some late word a year ago on how numbers could play out, thus they could get 25 because they were supposed to, under that point, get 20. They were able to get 25 and count guys back. Now they get late word again as to how the numbers work. Explain, Greg, how the numbers work on this one for Penn State.
Yeah, so of course the consent decree went away earlier this year, and before that, back in September, Penn State got all of its scholarships back, so they were able to go 25-85 just like the rest of the country, and they also got their bowl game back in that September decision as well. But recently when the consent decree went away, you know, it took time for Penn State to figure out and go through compliance and the NCAA and whatnot regarding whether or not the program would be able to have retroactive sanction relief, which essentially means last class, per the sanctions, the class of 2014 was mandated to 20 players. Well, now if the consent decree essentially never happened, that would mean that class of 2014 still has five spots left. So, you know, you can back count the early enrollees in the class of 2014 from the class of 2015. There's three of them, two linemen, Sterling Jenkins and Paris Palmer, and a quarterback, Tommy Stevens. So you count those guys backwards, and you all of a sudden free up three slots in this class of 2015. Now, what does Penn State do with it? I think they found out too late in the game that they were able to do that. So they weren't necessarily able to move on high school prospects. I mean, when you only have, you know, 24 to 48 hours to try and make a last-minute flip, especially when your plan all along was sort of that you weren't going to be able to do that, what do? You go to a kid you know well, a kid that was always interested in Penn State. That's Kevin Givens. They flipped him yesterday. Late yesterday, they add a grad transfer from Stanford, Kevin Reiner. He's a Scranton prep kid. He'll graduate from Stanford with a degree this March and come to Penn State in May. Don't worry if you don't see Penn State officially acknowledge him yet. There's some paperwork to fill out and whatnot before they can talk about him. But the kid's coming to Penn State as a grad transfer, and he'll be immediately eligible to play in the class of 2015 season.
What does it mean moving forward on 16 in terms of numbers?
Yeah, well, it opens up some space, Steve. You know, when you talk about, you know, the fact that Anthony Stanko and Jonathan Warner won't count against the scholarship total like they had in the past under the consent degree, and when you're able to count, you know, three guys back and have three more spots open up, you know, you suddenly have more room in 2016 than you thought. You know, it was looking like an 11 to 13 member class initially. Now, those numbers always change, mind you. How we take this Penn State class for 20 last year, the class of 2015 at this time last year looked like a 20 member class, and of course, it's going to have 25. And Reiner essentially makes 26. So the early numbers for this next cycle for the class of 2016 looks to be about 15 to 20. But I think that number is going to grow because you'll see guys leave for the NFL. Perhaps some fifth-year guys that people think may stick around will leave early or just decide to move on. You'll see some guys perhaps transfer after spring practice. They're not happy where they're at on the depth chart. It's amazing how things work out and how spots always open up. And Penn State's going to be able to take advantage of that, I think, in the 2016 cycle and get pretty close to a full 25 again next year if they don't get to the full 25.
All right. One of the keys to a solid recruiting ranking is getting a quarterback and a running back. I mean, and if you, it's sometimes if you don't need one, you'll see people knocked down on the because they didn't get a quarterback or a running back. And then if you don't need it, you don't need it. But Penn State did. How well did they do with those two spots?
Well, I think when you start looking at quarterback, you know, obviously they had current Notre Dame pledge and signee Brandon Wimbush committed for a while. He obviously has decided to flip, I mean, quite a while back to Notre Dame, so they lost that on him, but they recovered quickly. They ended up getting a dual-threat guy in Tommy Stevens, his staff really liked. He was committed to Indiana at one point, flipped to Penn State after he officially visited for the Michigan State loss at the end of the regular season. So, I mean, I think they did well replacing Wimbush. You know, not a knock on Stevens, but he's not a Wimbush, but he gets here early, and he has a chance to be a guy like Wimbush. You know, I think he needs some arm strength improvement. He'll get that in Dwight Gaunt's strength and conditioning program. And down the road, you know, even though he was a 3-star, Wimbush was a 4-star, you never know how these things work out. And Stevens certainly has the potential to turn out like a guy like Wimbush is projected to right now. It's going to take a lot of work, but he certainly can. So they did an okay job there. Then when you look at running back, you know, you land the two top running backs in the state and Saquon Barkley out of Whitehall and Andre Robinson, Bishop McDevitt's all-time touchdowns leader. You can't do any better than that. I mean, they're both 4-star guys. You know, Barkley is a kid that has run all over the Allentown area league for years. I mean, both of these guys are very, very good prospects. And when you pair them with Akeel Lynch and the three guys who came in, Nick Scott, Mark Allen, and Jonathan Thomas from the class of 2014, you know, this is a pretty good group they have coming in here. And I think overall that's going to help Penn State establish that backfield depth going forward, which is something they needed to do.
The speed factor. What's the sense that you get on the speed factor across the board with this class?
Well, I mean, you look at each position, and there's a guy that stands out at each. You look at running back, it's Barkley. You look at wide receiver, it's Brandon Polk, a 5'9 receiver out of Virginia. Briar Woods, teammate of current redshirt freshman Trace McSorley when they were both in high school. McSorley was a year older, so he comes up as a speedster, and he burned defenses in Virginia as a wideout and a punt returner all year as a senior in 2014. You look at the other side of the ball on defense, you have a guy like Manny Bowen, a linebacker, who is incredibly aggressive and incredibly fast. I really, really think a lot of people have high hopes for this kid, and with good reason. And then in the secondary, there's plenty of speed. You know, Garrett Taylor, the 4-star Virginia native, once committed to Michigan, now comes to Penn State as a corner. He has top-end speed, comes off a knee injury, so he'll have to revamp that, but he has very good speed. John Reed on the other side of the ball from state champ, the triple or quad A state champ, St. Joe's Prep, is a guy with top-end speed. He was banged up a little bit at the end of the season. He'll be fine when he gets here. So, I mean, overall, there's a lot of speed added in this class, Steve. I'm not quite sure it's the same amount of speed added in the class of 2014, but that's going to end up going down as probably one of the top, you know, athletic, speed-driven classes Penn State's had in a long time. So that's not a knock on this class of 2015. And as James Franklin's always said, there's a lot of different things they look for in classes. They look for speed. They look for guys with good length and good height and weight that they can build on with frames that allow them to play multiple positions. And this class has examples of all those guys.
Going into the 2014 season, going into it, the areas that were thin were linebacker and also offensive line. Give me an idea in terms of numbers now, where they are, Greg, numbers-wise, with the class that they just added to help solve some of the, at least, depth problems.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with offensive line, Steve. You look at two guys that are very likely to be able to contribute right away. The first one's Paris Palmer, the Lackawanna JUCO transfer. He's a North Carolina native, and they're very hopeful he can contribute right away. You look at another guy, Sterling Jenkins, who came into this class early. He came in January, and he's a guy that, you know, while he's probably not ready day one, it's hard to imagine he's ready day one. You know, it's a guy that can really help them depth-wise down the road, and I think that's what Penn State needed in this class. They needed to build depth. That's what they've done. You know, you look at the two guards, Steven Gonzalez and Ryan Bates from New Jersey and Pennsylvania, respectively. Two guys, again, probably not ready from day one, but guys that can probably play for you and be a major impact player, if not a starter, you know, 2-3 years down the road. I think numbers-wise, they should be in pretty good shape. You know, you think Palmer contributes, you think Reiner contributes, you obviously return a couple of guys, you lose Miles Diefenbaugh and Donovan Smith, but you hope that, you know, if you're a Penn State or a Penn State fan, you hope that a guy like Chance Sorrell, who came from Ohio and was a Vanderbilt commit but flipped to Penn State when James Franklin got here, you know, we've heard good things about him. You hear about Noah Bay, the Scranton prep tackle, who's probably still needs to put some more weight on, but, you know, depending on how his offseason goes, could be ready to play next year. So, I mean, you look at a couple of the guys, you get two or three contributors from last year's class, you get the two experienced guys, if you will, in the JUCO transfer Palmer and the grad transfer Reiner, and you combine that with what came back, and they should be in pretty good shape on the line in 2015. There is at least a hope that that will be the case, unlike last year where it was sort of just piecing things together for the most part, especially after Miles Diefenbaugh went down. And quickly at linebacker, excuse me, you look at that. Obviously, Mike Hall is a guy that's really tough to replace. You know, you don't exactly expect somebody to, excuse me, jump in and replace him, you know, from day one. But they return a very solid group there with Wortman and Bell and Jason Kabinda, Troy Reader, Ben Klein, Gary Wooten all come back. You add a talented guy like Manny Bowen to go along with Jake Cooper, the other linebacker in this class, and Daquan Kelly from New Jersey. And you add three very solid guys there. Again, I'm not quite sure either of the three are ready to play right away. Bowen's probably the closest to being able to play right away, but I think there's enough guys in front of them that that really shouldn't be an issue, save for injuries or just complete lack of progression from those guys that I mentioned earlier.
This never ends, so give me a read as to the jump start they have on 16 and any kind of jump start they have on 17.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I think the way to look at the jumpstart they have on 2016 is what Penn State's done today. Now, granted, it's only about 1:30. There's plenty of time for them to send out offers, excuse me, and, you know, call and sort of get ready to go with 2016 kids. But last year on the signing day, Penn State was not just signing 2014 kids. They were offering 2015 kids, and the reason you saw that was because the staff just didn't have enough time to fully watch film and vet the 2015 class because they had to get the 2014 class done. They only had so much time to do it. So you don't see a lot of those offers going out today, and that's because this staff already has so many offers out to its Plan A kids, to the guys it wants. And I think you see that in the fact that it already has four verbal commitments in the 2016 cycle and is on a very good track there. So very good start. Obviously, you want to get as many Plan A's as possible. It doesn't matter when you get them. Penn State has gotten four Plan A's, and the guys it has committed, you know, our running back Miles Sanders, a corner, Lavert Hill out of Michigan, quarterback Jake Zembiak out of New York, and Shane Simmons, a defensive end out of Maryland. So that's the four guys they have in. And then 2017 is the same, Steve. Haven't seen too many offers go out there yet, which isn't really a concern, but they have a list of guys that they're looking to get in here and a list of guys that they want to really get, you know, get on campus for camps and unofficial visits and all those type of things to really get a jump start on that class as well. But if you look at Ohio State, they already have four 2017 guys committed. Not that that's going to hold between now and February 2017, but, you know, the earlier you get them, the better of a chance you have to keep them. And I think we'll try, you know, we'll see maybe that progression start with Penn State here in the next couple of months.
One final question for you, Greg, then we'll let you go. We appreciate the time very, very much. They recruit not just as an area or a position. They recruit everybody as a staff. What kind of impact do you think that has, that the entire staff gets involved on a player and not just the position coach or the area coach and the head coach?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important because you never know which coach a kid is going to bond with best. You know, it's just like really anything. I mean, sometimes, you know, some people you won't exactly click with, and other times, you know, you'll click with somebody from the same organization or same group. And, you know, it's especially true when you're talking about 17 and 18-year-old kids that are very impressionable and very, you know, maybe not so sure of what they're looking for in a coach or a role model. You know, as soon as they click with one guy and connect with one guy, well, then maybe they'll connect with another guy. Then maybe they connect with the recruiting guy for their area. And then all of a sudden, the head coach and them see eye to eye and the coordinator. So the more guys you have involved, not only do the kids feel more like they're home and they feel like they have more trust in the staff as a whole, I think they also get closer with their area recruiter, the head coach, and the coordinator, and that builds a trust. That's why you don't see these guys decommit. You know, you see a lot of schools experience decommits coming down the stretch and whatnot, and, you know, we can't forget that Penn State did have three in this cycle, Wimbush to Notre Dame, Josh Barajas, the linebacker to Notre Dame, and Adam McLean, the defensive tackle to Maryland. So, I mean, it's not a 100% foolproof plan. Nothing in recruiting is, but when you look at how these guys recruit and how they sort of have a blanket mentality about how to approach these guys, I think you see that. It's why you see so few decommits, because they have so many guys on this staff that they trust and that the recruits are loyal to, that they really, you know, it'd be very difficult for any of these guys to decommit. And a lot of that's because of the way James Franklin and his staff approach recruiting for each kid.
Greg, as always, a great pleasure. Thanks a lot on a busy day for carving out time for us.
Hey, no problem, Steve. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks a lot.
All right, Greg Pickle, Fight on State. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
4 o'clock, Kevin Hurl will rank all 122 teams on his board as to where they finished in recruiting. You can listen for that between 4 o'clock and 4:06.
Okay, I'll have it done by then. No problem.
James Franklin, by the way, joins us at 4:06.
How come he gets
Looking
the prime time?
Looking forward to hearing from the... Because he's the Vinny Clossi of our show.
He can have the prime time anytime he wants it.
How big of you. Wow. We'll have an IndyCar driver on at 3 a.m.
You act like I don't like that, you act like I don't like signing day.
You don't like a lot of things.
That might be true.